After Judge Cogner's ruling in Walker v. United States, I realized, in order for Judge Cogner to reach his decision, he had to ignore four Supreme Court rulings that I had cited. He failed to explain why he was justified in doing this. After all, even a sixth grader knows that district court judges are supposed to follow the mandates of the Supreme Court and not overthrow them. The Coleman decision Judge Cogner cited didn't even mention the convention method of proposal. Further, I realized his assigning the government the right to veto the text of the Constitution via the political question doctrine flew in the face of every understanding I had regarding the Constitution and the obligation of the government to obey it. I had sensed all along, since I began my studies of an Article V convention, that there was a government conspiracy to prevent it. But who was behind this conspiracy, and why? Why would a perfectly proper method of amendment proposal allowed in the Constitution, as equally regulated by the ratification method called for in Article V, be so feared that there would arise a conspiracy to prevent it happening, despite the clear language of the Constitution? Who stood to gain from this conspiracy? Before answering that question, I first had to eliminate all other possibilities other than a conspiracy. Perhaps the conspiracy was no more than the fact that not enough states had applied. Perhaps there was a Supreme Court ruling or federal law which explained why a convention was not called. All of these explanations were studied and ultimately proven false. There is no reason whatsoever for an Article V convention not being called. The states have applied in more than sufficient number, and there is no Supreme Court ruling or federal law preventing such a call. The text of Article V is plain. Article V of the Constitution states that when 2/3 of the state legislatures apply for a convention call, Congress must call an Article V convention. I was ultimately forced to conclude that there was, in fact, a government conspiracy at the highest levels of government to deny the people their right to alter their form of government absent approval of that government. As Sherlock Holmes is credited with saying, when all else has been eliminated, that which remains, however improbable, must be the truth. I rejected the fear-mongering by political opponents that a convention call would mean the end of the earth as we know it. This fear was in fact no more than political opposition to a particular amendment proposal, such as the Balanced Budget, or ERA, that might be considered at a convention. These opponents always pointed to a runaway convention, one that would require the Constitution to be overthrown and declare themselves in political power by simple fiat as their greatest fear. The fact was, these opponents had failed to provide even one piece of factual, documented evidence to prove that what they feared had even been considered by one person in political power. They provided no names. In order for a convention to become a runaway convention, this would require powerful political leadership, as well as vast political support. Where were these political leaders that were so powerful they could command an entire convention with absolute unanimity, as well as 3/4 of the state legislatures, all without any effective opposition whatsoever to their actions? Yet possessing such vast political power, had never used it to achieve their goals. Why hadn't they exercised this power already? The answer was obvious. They don't exist, and there are no leaders or followers. And if there are no leaders and followers, the matter will obviously not happen. There is no political support whatsoever to overthrow or rewrite the Constitution by means of a convention. If such people do exist, they are so politically insignificant as to be meaningless. Still, the problem of a lack of factual, documented evidence proving a conspiracy remained. I was fairly certain who was behind this particular conspiracy, but had no documented proof. So, to get it, I filed my second lawsuit, this time aimed at the only group of people in government who could possibly be behind the conspiracy and benefit from it, the members of Congress. Events would prove I was correct.